Welcome to First Things First, the weekly podcast where we talk about God, faith, and life in Shallow Water, Texas. Our podcast is a production of First Shallow Water, and you can find more information about our church by clicking on the link in the description of this episode. Thanks for joining us. Here's our pastor, Brad Miles.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the First Things First podcast. As you know, those of you who listen to our podcast a lot, as you know, every week on this podcast, we have a fascinating, interesting, amazing person who comes in and just shares their story. And every week it's, we find out new things, we learn new things about people, and it's always really fascinating, really interesting. And this week is no exception. This week we have a fascinating, interesting, amazing person sitting right across the table from me. My good friend JT Holt is here, and you, some of you know JT, some of you known him. You know he's been coming to our church for a while. He's been on leadership, and he's a deacon at our church. He's kind of been around doing a little bit of everything at our church. So some of you have seen him around, but for those of you who don't, this is going to be a real treat. You're going to have an opportunity. To get to know him. So JT, welcome to the First Things First podcast.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate you having me. So I think you stretched the truth a little bit with the whole interesting and exciting and thrilling. And
well, I don't think
you build that up a little bit.
So. I will say that we are finally getting you onto the podcast after you just really, staying after me for months to try to get on the podcast because you've wanted to so bad.
Your waiting list must be long. Either I just keep getting pushed to the back. I don't know.
No, we know what happened. I finally got Anna Jackson. I finally put Anna Jackson on getting guests for me because she is much harder to say no to than I am. And it's proven true. Like, people who I didn't think we would ever be able to get to do this have said yes to her. So I'm super glad that you're here on the podcast today, JT. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself for folks who may not know you, your family. What do they need to know about you?
You bet. So my name is JT Holt, married to Mindy Holt, who's a pre-K teacher here in Shallow Water. Have a daughter, Maddie Holt, that used to run the snow cone stand. That's what she's known for.
That's right, yeah.
And just recently turned 21, graduated from Oklahoma State, got engaged, all that good stuff here recently.
So, hey, when is she getting married? Do they know that yet? Are they ballpark?
Yeah, like the end of the month. Like, they're going to elope and get married the end of the month.
Praise God.
I was like, what? But she has a very small friend group, and our family's fairly small overall. And she and they're like, we can save every dollar we can to get started in our life. And so they think that's in their best interest.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're going to do it anyway. So I wait. But
can I just tell you, speaking from the perspective of a person who recently paid for a wedding, I just want to say what an answer to prayer that is that Matt's doing that.
Well, I think all I do get to do now is write the check and give it to her. So,
that's right.
But it's still better than wasting it on a couple of hours.
Yeah, that's true.
I shouldn't say waste.
You
guys didn't waste it.
I know what you mean, though. But
from a banker standpoint, it's hard to not say waste.
So. Right. Yeah. From a dad standpoint, sometimes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But anyway, congratulations to her. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you. And then I have a son, Hudson, who's a seventh grader, who's 13 and attends here at Shallowwater. So that's the family. We moved down here from Oklahoma. I merged my company with a company called Hall & Hall, and we made the move in July of 16 and made the move. It's been great. We've enjoyed the community, enjoyed the people. They've welcomed us with open arms and just really enjoyed the church. We felt like we got plugged in early when we first came. They had an interim pastor when we first came here. And it was just, felt like we really fit in and plugged in well and was met with open arms and greeted well. And you've got some people in our small group that when we attend that we've struggled there lately, but that are just exciting to be around and very welcoming and just wanting to get you plugged in. So I think those things are great. So it's been good.
Yeah, that's great, man. So you're originally from Oklahoma.
I am born and raised in Oklahoma City. My wife's from Northwest Oklahoma, but yes, I spent the first 35, 38 years of my life there. So
in Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
And finally moved across over into God's country here in Texas. Is that how that happened? Is that what
I don't know. You guys don't have quite as many trees or as much water. I mean, that water thing's kind of a serious issue in this West Texas
nice.
Area.
Yeah, it's nice to have water.
I like water. So, it's good to go home every now and then, and I'm sure some people disown me go home, but it's good, and it's been good to be here. And I mean, very friendly people. I think when they say that about West Texas, it's definitely true.
It really is true. It sounds like a cliche when say, but if people ask me, you know, why I live in this part of the world, you know, the answer is the easy, direct, immediate answer is that the people here. I've been all over the country, JT. I've 44 of the 48, you know, continental United States. I've been to them. Right.
You didn't tour to Hawaii or.
Alaska.
The van didn't make it.
You can't drive a van over there. And also didn't ever get up to the Pacific Northwest, like Idaho and Washington and Oregon. I never went up there. One day, that's my goal. One day, but I've been all over the U.S.
Yeah,
and people here are different, JT. They're just really different. So that's not. I really feel like that's a real answer. You know,
you bet.
So and you kind of have to come here and experience people in this part of the world, you know, to understand that. But anyway,
I agree.
So so JT, you know, one of the things, as you know, that we talk about whenever we get people in here, we love to hear people's stories. Love to hear about their lives and about how things have happened in their lives. But particularly, we like to hear about, you know, your faith story, you know?
Yeah.
So talk a little bit, if you would, talk a little bit about how you came to faith in Christ, like what was going on, you know, at that time in your life? Who were people who were instrumental? Like, just kind of describe your journey to faith.
Right. So as a young man, or a young kid, I guess, I spent most of my summer vacations, spring breaks, Christmas vacations, et cetera, with my grandpa and my grandmother, and they were actually Primitive Baptists, is what they were.
Yeah.
And but I can remember many nights sitting out on the patio because my granddad was too tight to turn on the air conditioner in the middle of summer when it was 110 in eastern Oklahoma. But so I didn't fall very far from the tree there. But
well, and they have humidity there too.
Yes,
like
yes,
that's it's yeah. not
a little
like
sticky.
Here.
Yeah. A little sticky. So, but yeah. So I mean, I remember many nights sitting out on the patio and him reciting scripture to me, or you know, or reading from scripture, because I mean, that, you know, it's there just wasn't much else to do, and it was just you know, it was peaceful, and I just remember those times. And and I encourage elderly people to do that, or even myself. I mean, just to have the opportunity to read that stuff to your children or to your grandkids. I mean, that's the stuff they'll remember. And as I grew older, I realized my granddad wasn't a saint by any means, you know, and didn't claim to be by far, but knew that he fell short for sure. But somebody that was instrumental in my life for sure as a young kid. And then when I was 8, I guess, my parents divorced. We moved from a brand new house and more to the projects of Oklahoma City within about 6 months. And I tell you that just because it was instrumental in just the impact it had on me and our lifestyle. And we were upper middle class and basically go to poverty overnight, or it seemed that way in the early 80s, and businesses were busting, and you know, we lived through the oil crash of Oklahoma City. And so as my parents divorced, and I stayed with my mom, and she wasn't real great at picking men from that point forward, and no fault of her own. She worked her tail off. I mean, raising two kids on $800 a month, you know, with a full-time job and trying to make ends meet. And she always did somehow, some way. And, but you know, we did without at times, which was fine. I mean, we lived without electricity for 6 months when I was about 10 years old. And I mean, just things of that nature, you know, that, and I don't know that people around me even realized, you know, as to what I was going through or what other people were going through. And I just say that, I mean, you know, if you're an educator, just, you know, have your eyes open as to, you know, maybe there's a reason that kid's acting out, or, you know, you don't know what he's going through.
Right.
I'm
glad you said that, because I think, JT, that the reality is that there are people all around us who are bearing up underneath something really tough or difficult or painful. And a lot of times we're so kind of caught up in our own stuff that we don't really notice.
Right. You know? Yeah. You don't know the struggles that other people are facing for sure. And, you know, and that didn't, that didn't make me who I am, but it sure had an influence on me and has an influence on what I'm passionate about, you know, the ministries I want to serve in,
sure,
things of that nature. So as a teenager, I went to church for all the wrong reasons. I lived with my dad for a stint, and it was a small town, kind of like Shallowwater, and very similar, you know, a lot of pride, and it was the cool thing to do is to go to church, go to youth group, and that's why I went, you know, and girls and free food, and that's the whole reason I went, you know, and that's why I can't say enough that, you know, some people say, well, you're entertaining them, you know, and I don't care how you get them in the door.
Yeah, let's just get them here.
Let's get them here. You get them in the door, we'll figure out the rest, right. You know, and so to me, there's a lot of benefit in the youth groups and those kids being plugged in, and I just can't say enough about ours here and the impact that's had on my own children, so anyway, but, you know, that's why I went to went. I knew the Holy Spirit was calling me. I gave my life to Christ when I was 13 in Prague at First Baptist, and moved back to my mother shortly thereafter, and things were kind of the same there as far as just, you know, pretty well constant turmoil or pretty fairly steady turmoil. And finished school and rededicated my life at one point as well, going to church for the wrong reasons once again, but never was baptized. Kind of held off on that. Kind of felt like I needed to wait until I was in a home or a church home that I thought I was going to be in for a long period of time, not just passing through. And I know that was a dumb reason, and I didn't really understand the importance of baptism, what it meant. I don't think it was ever really explained to me I believe in it to be today. So I didn't get baptized. Maddie was 3, 4. So, I mean, it's probably 06, something like that. And we were in a church, you know, in a church that I thought we were going to be in forever. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we would ever move or ever leave that church, you know, and that was important to me, but I had the wrong concept in mind that I felt like once I was baptized that I needed to live a perfect life, you know, that I needed to live up to that standard. And I knew that I couldn't, you know, and I knew that, while I'd given my life to Christ, I was still going to fall short every day. And I just felt like once I made that public profession of baptism that I needed to walk a finer line that I knew that I couldn't. So I know now that's wrong.
Yeah,
you know, I know that's completely wrong. You know, I know I'm never going to do that. And man, I fall short every day. I'm the biggest sinner in this church, I can promise you. So,
we're in close competition, brother. So I don't agree with that. But I do want to like kind of maybe circle back around. I want to talk more about like when you actually accepted Christ when you were 13 and a little bit. But I want to say something because you said something really powerful. Because I think a lot of folks listening to this podcast maybe have this feeling, right?
Yeah.
That you felt like when you got baptized that there was a standard that you have to live up to. And a lot of people, you know, when you become a Christian, right, they have this image of what a Christian is, what a Christian looks like.
The and do's so, and don'ts.
And so then they're just like trying so hard to be all those things and do all those things. And I know, like, for me, I was called to preach when I was 6 years old. So, like, I was spent my whole life trying to live up to the standard that I was supposed to be a pastor,
right.
You know? And so I thought there's this way that I was supposed to look and act and be. And it just, that just destroys you. You know? And it was really freeing when I heard a person preach over Galatians 2:20 one time, and Paul at Galatians 2:20 says, "But I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the one who loved me and who gave himself for me." And so for the first time in my life, I realized that the Christian life is not something that I live. It's not something that I do,
right?
Being a Christian just means that I'm daily surrendering to Christ,
to his will,
and allowing him to live his life out through me. But I think people who grew up kind of like me and you, we grew up in kind of rules-based, you know, religion.
Yep.
We really struggle with that, to be honest with you, you know?
Yep.
And that whole concept of grace is, you know, it's easy for us to get before we become a Christian, but then it's really hard for us to understand it for some reason after we become a Christian.
Right.
And we can just beat ourselves up trying to live that out, you know? Anyway, So I resonate with that a lot. I've been there.
No, I think there's a lot of truth in that. And I think that, you know, and to me, it was a not only a profession of faith to the public when you were baptized, but it's an act of obedience, and it's something that Christ did. And we're called to, I feel like we're called to do that because Christ did that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to live a Christ-like life. I mean, you know, that's what I attempt to do or try to do, and Lord knows I don't. But, I mean, I just... to me, that's what, when it finally resonated with me is, you know, I'm never going to live a perfect life. There's no way it's going to happen. And, you know, it's just an act of obedience.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what it boiled down to. And, it amazes me that people that walk, you know, walk in and out every Sunday or, you know, that I've talked to behind the scenes, and I know that they've never been baptized, you know, and they're adults, and whether they're ashamed or whatever the case may be. And man, I would just encourage them to take that step. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's an act of obedience. I think it's something that other people need to see you do. You know, it would encourage others. It would encourage youth. It would encourage, you know, other kids that hold you up at a higher standard, you know, respect you. And
right.
So I don't know. I encourage those people that haven't to make that profession and do so. So.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I do think there's probably people listening to the podcast who are like, they may have some questions about baptism, you know, because, you know, not everybody who listens to this podcast goes to our church, you know.
Right.
So they may have some questions about baptism, or some of them may be like you've said, they did what you did. They made a profession of faith, but they've never been baptized, and maybe they're wondering, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, baptism doesn't save us. I mean, we know that. There's nothing magical about the waters, you know.
Nope.
So they're like, what's the big deal? Why should I be? And I really love the way you put it. It's an act of obedience. But the thing is, obedience is really super powerful. I mean, when you read scripture, what you see over and over again is that the power of God is unleashed in those who obey.
Right.
You know? So when we talk about baptism as this first step of obedience that a person takes after they give their heart and their life to Christ, I mean, that's really important, because when we obey, God's power is unleashed fully in us. And God's power cannot be unleashed fully in people who are disobedient, right? And when we're not obeying.
Right.
And so we talked earlier about how Christianity really is about just surrendering to Christ and letting Him live our lives out through us. Well, that act of submission and surrender means that we're doing what He says, you know,
right.
Not what we think we should do or what we want or what, you know what I mean? We're not, the why questions aren't important. It's just what does Jesus want from me? You know? So I agree with you. I would encourage if baptism is something that you've never done, you've given your heart and your life to Christ, but you've never been baptized. Well, man, I'm super excited, because I believe that God, there's all this stuff that God wants to do in your life that He's not able to do right now because you just haven't been obedient.
Right.
And so I would just really encourage you to do it. That's good.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Let's go back to, you know, you gave your heart and your life to Christ, right? Mm-hmm. You prayed to, when you were 13. You prayed to receive Christ when you were 13.
Yes,
so
sir.
So talk about, like, what was going on in your life at that moment? Like, what... if you remember, like what really made you think, man, I need to do this? You know what I mean? What kind of made everything click for you at that time?
You know, it was probably just the fact that I knew that I needed Christ. I could feel the Holy Spirit moving in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I, you know, was in a small town, attending youth group, typical, almost like a youth rally type event.
Sure.
I mean, that's not what it was, but it was just a normal Wednesday night, but that's kind of the way they treated every Wednesday, it seemed.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it was just, there was a lot going on. Just, I mean, I know what was going on as far as in my family, and just, you know, felt like I was kind of on my own to some extent. I mean, mm-hmm. My dad worked a lot, you know, I mean, and he was, I mean, don't get me wrong. My parents were good people. I mean, they made some terrible choices. Don't get me wrong. And it affected,
we all do.
Yeah. You know, you just hope they don't affect those around you as bad or as much. And it did. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, as far as things that were going on, you know, I was a popular kid in town. I was a new kid in town. So it was pretty easy to fit in and plug in. And, you know, I just really felt like Christ was, you know, calling me to come forward and make a profession of faith, and prayed a prayer of salvation, and Accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Do I feel like I did a 180 then? No, I didn't.
But it was the start of something.
It was the start of something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it was. I mean, it really, and I can remember that I told one of my best friends after it was over with, because he was like, where'd you go? I mean, where were you? Because it was kind of a quiet time for the youth. And I met with the youth pastor afterwards and where were you? And I told him, I said, man, I prayed a prayer of salvation and gave my life to Christ. I've never seen joy in somebody's face like that. another 13, 14 year old kid and just excited for me. And can I get emotional and talk about my faith? Yeah. He was just excited and overjoyed. And yet I didn't really tell a lot of people, it wasn't something I felt like I need to share with others, and I probably should have. I should have been probably more excited about it and realized what that meant at a deeper level. But
you were 13.
Yeah, that's true too. And, I was a 13-year-old boy. I was like, I'm not telling anybody anything.
Yeah.
Everything's good. So.
Well, frankly, you were kind of already practiced at that, right? Not telling everybody everything.
You just shut everything out that's going on and trudge
pretend
on.
Pretend like it's all good.
You're in your own world.
Well, and so it sounds to me like a couple of things were going on. Like there was this realization that you were in need of God's forgiveness, right? That you were that you needed Jesus. That's kind of how you put it.
And, yeah.
Which is important, right? Because we all do, right? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us need the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ. But then the other thing that you kind of mentioned and alluded to is that there was kind of a part of you that maybe felt like you were on your own. That's kind of how you said it. And trying to navigate everything. And this, the knowledge of like having, the Holy Spirit, like living inside of you, right? Like not being alone, like being adopted into God's family, do you understand what I mean?
God right. plays his Knowing name that on you. You always have him.
That was probably super attractive to you at that time in your life, like something that you realized you really needed.
Yeah, needed that foundation for sure. And I mean, it's my relationship with Christ, even before I accepted Christ, I think was, in times of need, I always leaned on him.
Right.
I mean, I can remember times at a very young age of, being in a stressful, dire situation, or not dire, but I mean, in a tough situation and calling out to him, and praying to him and weeping and crying out to, to Christ to save me from those times or those instances. And, I feel like he was something I needed in my life, and I knew that, and I knew that, that's what I was called to do. So,
That's awesome. I know there are folks that listen, to the podcast that one or both of those things would be true for them right now. Maybe they have been made painfully aware of their need for God's forgiveness and mercy,
Right.
Or maybe they feel really isolated and alone, and to hear somebody say, no, man, that what I have is a relationship with God. He's with me. And he's been with me in these really painful, difficult times. I've felt this presence there. He's been, I know there's probably somebody out there who needs to hear that.
He's there with us in the joyful times as well. And, that's something we need to recognize. I think sometimes we kind of get hung up on those that are struggling or in bad situations and things of that nature. And I think we have to continue to grow and focus on things that are positive and that are going on in our life and the impact he's had in those areas as well. So.
Yeah. 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 Cause he's at work in all of it, in the good and the bad.
That's true.
Yep. So what about like after you became a Christian, you're baptized or just any, as you were kind of growing in Christ, mm-hmm. what were some times where you really felt like the Lord was stretching you, growing you sometimes? And I know one of those times is obviously whenever you realize you need to be baptized. That was a big time. But what were some other times where when you look back, you can see, oh man, the Lord was working in my life right then. God was really teaching me something. What were some of those times?
Where do I start? You know, one in particular would be when I met my wife. I mean, really not living the life that I should be living. It's something that excited me about Mindy was just her purity. Mm-hmm. Was just, you know, the way she carried herself, her focused on having a, you know, a Christ-like life and being, you know, a godly woman. That was something that, you know, I mean, it just showed me. And I started reading about being yoked to somebody that's not, you know, under of the same mindset. And so that was something that it really forced me to, you know, kind of leave a lifestyle behind that I was young and dumb and,
right.
You know, just living a college life, I guess, just having a good time. So that was one instance, an example of another one that probably stands out as much as anything. I mean, baptism, yes. I mean, as far as being stretched there and realizing that I needed to do that. But there's a significant difference between Maddie and Hudson's age. And the reason being was we struggled with pregnancy. I know other people that have been on your podcast have as well, and people in our church have. And man, we spent a lot of time going back and forth to fertility doctors, and we lived in a very rural community. So it was, you know, 135-mile trip, you know, one way and doing it, you know, once a week or, you know, two or three times a week at times, to do that. And I think we did that for about 15, 16 months before we finally did in vitro. And I've read 1 Samuel. I think I could darn near recite it, you know, because where, Hannah was just crying out, you know, and I've encouraged people in our church here that have struggled with that to read that, lean into that. But yeah, you know, and I know you're not supposed to make deals with God, for sure, but you know, that's something he definitely stretched me in you know, I made a promise that, if he would bless me with a son that I'd give him to God. And, that's something we've tried to do, just to continue to influence our kids with Christ and continue to make sure they're in church. And man, we're not, I mean, people that are around me, they know that I'm nowhere close to perfect by any means. But it's, you know, that relationship with Christ is important to us. So, and it's important to our children, and that's what we want to influence them with. So,
So man, the Lord, like with Hannah, right? The Lord answered y'all's prayer in that regard. You know,
100%.
I can't. Yep. You know, I just want to say too, like, because you're right. Like a lot of people's story, it's been really surprising to me actually that so many people's stories, as I talk to them about their faith journey, so many people's stories involve a period of time where, you know,
struggling.
Some of them still, like, they're still in that period of time. You know, right. They still, you know. And so, you know, I think the, like, recognizing maybe the trauma of that, you know, in a person's life, whenever there's something that you want so badly and it's just not happening, you know, that it really can be a really traumatic situation. But I remember, I've had this realization when I was preparing for a sermon that I preached over that passage not too long ago. But almost every major move of God in Scripture starts with a woman who's can't get pregnant.
Really?
I mean, if you think about it, right? Like several. Samuel, and then, you know, John the Baptist, and then, I mean, there's several of these. Sarah, major moves. You know, yep. Sarah and Abraham. I mean, even Rebecca. Yeah, Jacob's wife Rebecca. I mean, even all the way through, the story of God's work are these stories of these women who couldn't get pregnant. I mean, even Mary was a person who wasn't supposed to be, you know, pregnant, right? She wasn't married or anything yet. Right. So in every one of these, all these situations, like these powerful moves of God start with just a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times a woman who is not able to have a child. And so, so God, you know, begins this, you know, incredible work that he's doing, but he starts here in the middle of a woman's pain. And man, I just thought about how beautiful that is, that's the way our God works. And
you bet.
And so when there are people out there who, you know, kind of in the midst of that, it's good for us to remember, man, that's when the Lord shows up the biggest sometimes, is in those moments, you know?
You bet. And I would say that, I mean, our situation wasn't traumatic by any means. I mean, there's so many people that are facing much more troubling times than we ever did. I mean, we were blessed. I mean, you know, 16, 17 months, whatever it was, we did that and ended up doing in vitro, and we were fortunate enough that it worked and it was successful. But, you know, it caused me to spend more time on my knees, to realize my prayer life was important, to focus on that scripture, to continue to study that scripture and really dive into that to get a deeper understanding of what God was, you know, saying and what he was calling me to be as a father as well. You know, to lay that importance of having a relationship with Christ that could influence my children, you know, going forward. Man, could I do better there? You bet. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I could do better today, for sure. But that was definitely one instance in our life. And I knew it was very important to Mindy as well. You know, we wanted two children, and it was important to both of us. And so she'd go to bed, and I'd spend some time in the Word. And I was really on fire for Christ at that point in time in my life. We were really active and volunteering in our youth group and in our church and leading Sunday school class and things of that nature. And it was easy, you know, to dive into the Word and focus on Him and realize how important it was to do that. And it was just an answered prayer.
That's always – because ultimately the goal – What God is doing in all these circumstances in our life is always the same, right? What God is doing is He's trying to reveal Himself to us. Like that's how He's working in all these circumstances in our lives. And so when we turn our eyes to Him, right, when we really, whatever it is that we're going through, like you said, like, you know, joyful times or sad times or whatever, if we will turn our gaze to Him, I mean, that's always the point, you know? And we're always, when we turn our gaze to Him, we're always going to find peace is the word I would use, but not peace the way we understand it. Like peace, oh, I feel fine about this, right? That's not what peace is. Like peace is being able to trust that even in the middle of whatever it is that we are on an unshakable foundation in Christ Jesus. You know, that's peace.
Right.
And that's available for us anytime, right? Whatever it is that's going on in our lives, if we'll turn our eyes to Christ and we'll really lean into relationship with Him, then we do grow, right? We do find, find peace in the midst of all that. So
you bet. Yep.
That's good. So what about right now, JT? What's God teaching you right now? What do you feel like you're learning most recently?
You know, most recently, I mean, I guess that's kind of an interesting question. I guess I've had several relationships that, as far as just personal relationships with friends and acquaintances and things of that nature that really seemed one-sided. Mindy always tells me that my friends are more important to me than I am to them. You know, I mean, it's just, and I don't know if it's the way I grew up or what, but, you know, my friends were my family and, you know, kind of ride or die kind of deal, you know, or the way we hung out. And that was, you know, that's how tight our friends were. So it's kind of a comical statement that she always tells me, but, I kind of made the decision recently or a few months ago. I was like, you know what, man, I'm just done. I mean, I'm done with those one-sided relationships. I'm done with, continuing to reach out, continuing to do that if there's nothing in return, and it's not being reciprocated. And, it's kind of, I mean, it just dawns on me the other day. It's like, wait a minute, what's your relationship with Christ like?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, snap. I mean, that kind of stung conviction. A little bit. Yeah, I was like, oh. I mean,
fortunately, Jesus doesn't do that. Like, he's not, if you're not reciprocating, I quit.
Exactly. Because I'm like, how much time are you spending in the Word? How much time are you focused on Him?
Right.
You know, what's your prayer life look like today compared to what it should look like? And, you know, I started asking myself all those questions, and it's like, wait a minute. I mean, that's, you know, once again, he's pointing me back to Him that I need to focus back on Him, you know, and I don't know. I think there's seasons in life where you're really on fire for Christ, you know, and you're just excited and then there's other times it just seems like you kind of feel like you're going through the motions or maybe you're not going through the motions at all, I still believe that you're saved. I still believe you've given your life to Christ. I just think it's a season that we go through. And, I think that He's calling me that, man, it's time to get your focus right, you know, and it's time to hone in. So, that's, I think as of late, that's within the last couple of months. And, something that's just been on my heart, I guess. But
and it's amazing, you know, in my life, I don't know about yours, but in my life, you know, it's so, so I kind of would characterize it as like kind of my focus tends to drift, you know, and, mm-hmm. And so when I'm really honed in on my relationship with Christ, you know, God is doing these amazing things and I'm growing, you know, but there's all of these really good things that are happening all around me all the time that sometimes compete for my attention, you know?
You bet.
And so it's not like they're, I mean, sometimes in our lives, there are these terrible, destructive things that draw our focus, right? But a lot of times in our lives, it's not. I mean, it's good stuff. It's like, you know, I have a daughter who, you know, who dances and, you know, she spends right. probably 15 hours a week, you know, practicing dance and doing all that stuff. And it's more like we just kind of get in this rut where we're just so busy, like running around and doing all this stuff for, you know, for work and for kids and for everything else that. That you just kind of wake up and realize, you know what, I haven't really spent time with the Lord in a long time. And that way, our relationship with Him is not that different from any other important relationship in our lives.
Right.
We can fall into that trap with our spouse. We can fall into that trap with friends, like you're talking about, like yeah. where we're just so busy that we're just not prioritizing time
right.
with, you know, with them. And we can do the same thing with the Lord. We're just not prioritizing time with Him because we're running around doing bunch of this stuff. That's how it usually happens in my life. And so then I've got to like come back and, you know, cut some stuff down and you know what I mean? Right. And like, you know, right. so how can I be more intentional about this relationship that really is really important to me? I just haven't been showing it for the past however long, you know?
Right.
And that's where I usually end up.
Yeah. And it's like any other relationship, you're going to get out of it. You know, I mean, you have to put something into it. It's
exactly.
not just a one-way street. And,
yeah.
You know, it's, not only spending time in His Word and talking to Him and telling Him, you know, not only your needs and, you know, and your goals, but listening to Him and hearing His will and what He's got in store for you, not necessarily what you've got planned.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's something that's really, you know, through some other things that have gone on in my life, just seeking His will, not mine.
Yes.
You know, that's what's important to me is whatever He wants to do, just use me as a vessel. You
yeah.
know, that's kind of my goal. But,
yeah.
But I'm hard-headed, and he's got to push pretty hard sometimes. But he gets there.
I can relate. I can relate to that, so, JT.
Yeah. I'm like, you don't want me for that.
Yeah. So. Well, listen, buddy, I really appreciate you hanging out and sharing your story today. There's so much. Gosh, we could probably have talked for like 2 hours about all this stuff.
Pretty easy for us. Though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes, I am a talker. So, but
no, I'm not. I'm not at all.
But you no. though have great things to share. So I appreciate you sharing today. Thank you for that. And it was really just good to kind of hear how God's been at work in your life. It's what a, you know, I'm always amazed at how the Lord has been working. You know, in people's lives, you know? So, anyway, and a lot of some of the aspects of your story are ones I can really relate to. Cause I lived through some of those same things myself. So,
you bet.
So I'm totally with you on that, but I really appreciate it, JT. So for those of you listening, I really hope you heard a couple things today. I hope you heard about how the presence of God is with us. His presence is with us. His power is with us, even when we're in a situation where it feels dark and it feels difficult. And I also hope you heard that God's love and forgiveness and mercy is available to you. It doesn't matter where you are, what you've done. He loves you, wants to forgive you, and wants to be with you. I hope you heard that in JT's story. That's true for you as well. And if you have questions about what it means to be a Christian or about anything else with regard to like what it means to pray that prayer that JT was talking about, if you have questions about baptism, would you just look in the description of this episode? There's a link to a prayer request form. Click on that thing, and then tell us how we can be praying for you. And if you have questions or whatever about anything, put them in there. We literally pull those prayer requests off and we pray for them and we follow up on them. So please do that. We would love to hear from you and love to know how we can minister to you. But thanks for listening. Hope you were really encouraged. I know you were. And make sure you check back next week. We'll have another fascinating, amazing, interesting guest. The bar, JT has set the bar really high though. So we'll have to somebody else to But join us next week as we talk to somebody else and have another great conversation. And until then, we'll see you around town.
Thanks for tuning in to First Things First. We want to invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at First Shallow Water. You can find us at 703 Avenue J in Shallow Water, Texas. Our Sunday morning service starts at 10:30 a.m. Click on the link in the description of this episode for more information about our church, or if you'd just like to reach out to us. Check out the previous episodes of this podcast. Make sure you do that. We really have had the privilege of hearing some amazing stories. And make sure you check back each week for a new episode. Until then, we'll see you around town.